This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Greg Shatton, rapporteur for the CCWG Accountability Jurisdiction Subgroup, and this is our meeting number 38 on July 18th, 2017 at 1300 UTC. Why don't we begin with the administration. Let's ask first if there are any changes to statements of interest. If anybody has a change of statement of interest, please speak up. I'm momentarily away from the computer, so if your hand is up, please speak up. Although everyone seems quite stable, haven't seen too many changes in SOIs lately. Seeing none, or hearing none, I'll ask if there is anybody who is on audio only. I don't hear anybody who is audio only. I'll be back in Adobe Connect momentarily. Now I'm back in Adobe Connect. We have no phone number only participants, so that is good. Okay, let us now briefly review the agenda, and then we will work through the rest of it. We'll have a review of decisions and items from the last call. After that, a review and discussion of the list of proposed issues. I've just circulated for this call a download of the Google Doc as it currently stands. We will then move on to review questionnaire status and progress of questionnaire responses, and then a review of ICANN litigation, and if there is anybody on the call who has completed litigation review and has presented it to the group, I'd appreciate your putting a hand up. Or making a note in the chat, and I would like you to present that. We have a bit of a backlog of those that have not been presented in past, and but I did not specify any particular presenter. So we'll see if there is anybody who is able to step forward for that. Next, we'll have any AOB, and we'll see if there is any, does anybody now have any AOB they would like to put in the AOB slot? If so, please put up a hand. Not seeing any hands, so we'll... Of course, when we get to the AOB slot, we'll see if there is anyone who has any AOB or if I have any AOB at that time. That brings us now to item four in our agenda. We made the following decision in last week's call, which was to we approved the draft email to questionnaire respondents to ask them if they wanted to provide additional statements or participate in a call to further explain or discuss their questionnaire response. Action item was to send out that email with apologies. Real life and real work life intruded over the past week. I have not yet sent out that email, but I will work with staff to get that out in the next day or so. There was also a request on last week's call for participants to include any issues, proposed issues that they have or that they unearthed in any of their other work for the group, such as litigation review or questionnaire response analysis, and to put that on the issues list within the next 2 weeks. That means that we've reached the halfway point in those 2 weeks in this call. So that was last week and this coming week. So that brings us now to the list of proposed issues. And if I could ask staff to...
I'm sorry, Greg.
Yes.
This is Tiago. Just a clarification, please.
Yes.
Did I hear that we have a 2 weeks deadline to fill in the list of proposed issues?
I wouldn't call it a deadline. I had asked if people try to populate the list over the course of last week and this week. The issues list or proposed issues list will remain open for some time during our work. Obviously, it has to close at some point. But the idea was to set some time frame in which people would be hopefully diligent and bring issues that proposed issues that they had identified onto the list so that we could work with them. Clearly, it's hard to work from a list of issues that doesn't have the issues on it. But no, it's not a hard deadline. There will be a hard deadline at some point, but this is not it.
Okay, thank you very much.
So here is the issues list that's been put up by staff. It's rather small, so you should zoom in or look at it from the Google Doc yourself. You will note, if you scroll down, that it looks rather like it did a week ago, and Google Doc shows that nobody's been in the document since the 11th of July when I went into the document. Unfortunately, this past week, it seemed like I was not the only one who was consumed by other work, maybe even other ICANN work. I will redouble my request that we try to crowdsource this list from within the group, as well as working groups are supposed to do, and that if you identified a list, an issue in a prior document that we worked on or in discussion or an email, or if you reviewed a litigation which raised an issue, or if you reviewed a questionnaire response that raised an issue, or if you submitted a questionnaire response that raised an issue, that you please bring it onto this list so that we can work on it. I do, of course, want to acknowledge Raphael Beauregard-Lacroix and the Internet Governance Project, which I assume would be Farzi, at least in part, obviously, for putting issues up onto the list. So thank you for that. Let us do a quick run through the list. Again, this is not the time at which we will discuss these issues in depth. We will give fair warning on the issues or proposed issues, since I expect that people will want to make sure that they are available for certain issues in which they have a particular interest. The first issue, proposed issue that has been identified is that there is no governing law in the registry agreements, with some exceptions, I believe, for certain CCTLDs, but So there are reasons that have been inserted that this is within our remit, and we should review that. So I would ask everyone to read what has been inserted there in the sixth column. So this is new from last week and this week, so thank you. I'm not sure who put it in, but it's here. Of course, this is something that's obviously open to discussion and debate, so we should be prepared to do that. Next, note that there is no governing law in the registrar accreditation agreement. Similar issues, similar concerns. Next is really a group of issues that has been identified around sanctions. It may be that there are other issues around sanctions, including OFAC sanctions, but these are the proposed issues that have been identified so far. David McCauley, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley here for the record. It's really a process question. Excuse me. And I refer back to your discussion with Iago just a moment ago about a hard deadline will appear, you know, at some point in the future. So my question is, when an issue is presented, there's two questions. One is this issue within our remit? I guess we will have a discussion about that. And then the second question, I guess, would be is if we decide that it is within our remit, we would have a substantive discussion about it. So my question to you is, once an issue is posted, is there a different hard deadline for people who would want to argue that this may not be within our remit, or is that simply subject to whatever hard deadline we come up with at the end? And then for things that are within our remit, do you envision us having discussions and coming up with positions in our final report? I'm just curious, you know, sort of what the overall process is for the issue list. So thanks very much.
Thank you, David. Good questions. So the plan is yes. It's very much like you outlined, which is that we will go through the proposed issues list, focusing on our common understanding of the proposed issue, and whether the issue is within our remit, whether the issue is in fact an issue. It's possible that some issues may be just literally not issues when we dig into them. But once we do find that an issue is moves essentially from being a proposed issue to being a recognized issue of the group, we'll either move it to a separate list or make an indication on this list that it is now an accepted issue. And at that point, we would look to develop recommendations for resolving or mitigating that issue. At this point, there are no hard deadlines for those determinations. Clearly, it's imperative to the work of this group and any sense of timeliness that we get the proposed issues up on this list and make decisions about which issues that have been proposed are in fact issues for this group to make recommendations about, or at least to review. So we will need to consider a timeline for this, and I'll put my mind to that in the coming week. I think it's probably appropriate to give a fair warning now that we will begin substantive discussions of the proposed issues and whether they're in our remit on next week's call. I'll also give that fair warning on the email list for those who are unable to attend this call. David, did I answer your questions, or was there anything that I overlooked?
No, it does. I guess what you're saying, though, is once an issue is posted on the list, forget about hard deadline and go ahead and put your comments on fairly quickly. And so if we're going to take up substantive discussions next week, presumably on the point of whether something's within our remit, then I take your point and I'll proceed along those lines. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Yes. So proceeding with our walk through the issues list, or proposed issues list, we have three sub-issues that have identified under OFAC sanctions, Office of Foreign Assets Control of the United States, which limits certain transactions between U.S. entities and foreign entities, certain foreign entities. And first is our issues relating to the to registrar accreditation. Second, our issues regarding the applicability or not of OFAC to non-U.S. registrars and the fact that some non-U.S. registrars appear to be adopting OFAC as a standard, even if they're not legally obligated to do so. And last is the issue of approvals of GTLD registries and also accreditation of registrars, I notice, is in the second column, so that needs to be added to the title in the first. If there are other issues relating to sanctions, whether they are OFAC sanctioned or otherwise, it would be very good to get those issues in particular on this list so that we can have an integrated discussion of OFAC sanctions either next week or the week after, but certainly I would hope to do that no later than the week after. So it would be good to get those. Any other issues related to sanctions, and also anybody's comments on these issues, fill in the rest of the columns with your views. So next is an issue relating to ICANN CCTLD delegations. As currently phrased, I see a hand from Farthi, timely as I was about to discuss your submission. Farzan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. Farzan Abadi speaking. It's an issue I want to raise related to the OFAC sanctions. One of the problems that I have heard some people face is when there is a financial sanction and against one country, it is difficult for them to send money or have transactions with U.S. persons. Now, this issue that I have heard that has incurred a lot of cost on those people that want to deal with ICANN financially, that is only, I have heard it only related to people from Iran. I have done some research to see if there is a law that applies to other countries that will make financial transactions harder for them. I'm still in the process of research, but I wanted to know if issues that are just specifically about one country can be just added to the list, and then we can discuss them later. Thank you.
Thank you, Parzi. Good question. I certainly would believe that issues relating to one country at least should be on the proposed issues list. That's how we'll be able to debate them fully. So I would note that since this is a proposed issues list, even issues that are may not get the approval of the group for one reason or another should be on this list. So I would encourage you, Farzi, if you could, to add that to this list as a proposed issue, and then we can discuss as a group whether the fact that it is, you know, deals with limited to in its effect to a single country or a group of people is an issue for this group to resolve or at least to just, you know, but certainly we can discuss proposed issues in that fashion. Tiago, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago speaking. Just a brief comment on whether or not the fact that only one country is affected by a particular issue, whether or not this should indicate, this should be taken as an indication that the issue is not an issue. As far as I understand, the group's concerned not only with bad experiences that have happened in the past, but we are also looking for risks. We have to also discuss and identify certain risks that are real, and I think that once we have cases, even if those cases are coming just from one country, it's an indication that there is a risk, and that this risk could affect other countries in the future. So again, I think it shouldn't be a problem that an issue affects only one country for the time being, because the future might prove things differently. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. Noted. Certainly, when we get to discussing risks, or you know, we'll need to look at the likelihood or probability as well. But yes, we will keep that in mind. Phil Corwin, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Phil, for the record, and I'm always hesitant to wade into this sensitive area of OFAC, but if we're going to be looking at it, I think we should be looking at it in a holistic and comprehensive way. My understanding, I'm not an expert on OFAC, is that it prohibits U.S. companies from entering into contracts with certain organizations and nations that are on a list compiled by the U.S. Treasury Department. So I think if we're going to be looking at it, we should be looking at, clearly it affects contracts, but it, we have to look at that. One, how does it affect participation in ICANN's vital functions? And I note for the record that the GAC representative from Iran, and Iran is a nation subject to OFAC sanctions, is able to participate in ICANN's policymaking activities and GAC activities without any hindrance that I'm aware of, but perhaps my understanding is limited. So we should be looking at, are there other impacts on ICANN's vital functions, its security and stability functions, its policymaking functions, or is the effect simply limited to contracting? And also my understanding is that the U.S. is hardly the only nation which has such sanctions regime, so we shouldn't be looking at this in the sense that, well, if we weren't in the U.S., the issue wouldn't exist. I think we have to take some notice of what the practice is in other nations in regard to these types of sanctions, and I hope that's a useful comment to leading to a full understanding of the impact of OFAC and how it does or does not affect participation by various parties in the most critical parts of ICANN's operations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil. Sorry, a little trouble getting off the mute button there. I think those are all good points. And I think we should try to get more of an understanding of OFAC. We may see if ICANN Legal has some learning on that that they can share with us as well. Maybe you can join us on a call, or you can have somebody on who can help us through. I see a note that we have a person on the call listed as anonymous. If you are anonymous, can you please state your name for the record, please? Not hearing anything from anonymous staff. I don't know what our what ICANN's position is on people logging in who are anonymous. These are calls for members of the subgroup, so we have nobody in the group named anonymous in the subgroup. So I would ask if anonymous can reveal themselves. Otherwise, I think we may need to remove anonymous from the room, since that would be a non-member. So I'm not hearing any identity being announced to anonymous. David McCauley, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Greg, thanks. David here for the record. And I'm just picking up on a comment that you just made with respect to ICANN Legal. Sam Eisner is a member of our group, and I know she's quite busy from my work with her on the IRP group and in other areas. So my suggestion to you as chair, Greg, is if you could, as early as possible, when you determine that one or more of the issues on the issue list is going to be raised. For instance, the bit, I'll use just as an example, the bit about no governing law in the registry or registrar agreement. That's something where ICANN Legal could shed some light. And so my suggestion would be to give Sam as much advance notice of issues that are going to be discussed on our calls and ask her to come and participate. That way she will have a chance to prepare, and it would be helpful for us to get ICANN Legal's insights on some of these issues. So that's a suggestion. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, David. Good suggestion. Bernie, I see your hand is up.
Yes, we seem to have lost anonymous, so no longer an issue. Thank you.
Thank you. It was an interesting visitation. So I'd like to see if there is any objection to having someone from ICANN Legal come and talk to us about OFAC from ICANN's view, as well as any kind of explain generally from a legal standpoint anything about OFAC or other sanctions that ICANN is deals with. So any objections to that? If not, I'll go ahead and make a formal request. Tiago, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. On the question of having someone from ICANN Legal to come participate in the call to clarify issues, I think might be useful. Perhaps it might be useful, too, to have someone not from ICANN, an independent expert from outside. And another point that I'd like to make is to Phil's comment. I think he mentioned that OFAC sanctions is a problem that is related to U.S. practice, but that other countries might eventually, the legislation of other countries might have an impact similar to OFAC's impact. I think he's right, and that's a fair point. but the fact that other countries do certain things that are not permissible shouldn't be taken as an indication that what US does somehow becomes permissible because other countries are doing it. So if we imagine that other countries might do things that affect ICANN's activities in a negative way, so we should also consider ways of mitigating those negative impacts. And of course, if we think, for example, of immunities, those immunities could obviously prevent U.S. Jurisdiction from doing things against ICANN. And the same immunity should also eventually achieve the same result in relation to other countries. Just a brief reflection. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I'm not sure I understand all of your remarks. I think Phil was just trying to put OFAC in a larger context indicate that there may be sanctions regimes in other countries that could affect ICANN as well. And you said something about countries doing things that are not permissible. Are you proposing that government sanctions?
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
And I believe many, if not most, countries do have sanctions regimes of some sort. Are you suggesting that those are not permissible?
What I'm saying, Greg, is that if we identify things that happen within the United States because OFAC sanctions, and that those things eventually are reproduced in different countries, you see, and considering that we take U.S. practice to be something that shouldn't happen, obviously we should also take other countries' similar practices as something that shouldn't be happening either. I'm not sure whether I have clarified my position, but my concerns are that we shouldn't be taking singling out U.S. as necessarily the problem. You see, if any country in the world adopts certain positions that affect negatively ICANN core activities, core functions, obviously we should try and strive to find remedies that would make sure that ICANN is not negatively affected by the laws of the United States or of any other country.
Thank you, Tiago. I think that's a bit clearer. I know Phil Corwin's point in the chat that views OFAC not so much as a problem as a fact, and facts are things that we need to work with and work around in any case. But I'm sure we'll be back to this discussion in more detail.
Just one more remark, if I may.
Yes, please, but briefly.
Yes, thank you. So in relation to OFAC sanctions, I think OFAC sanctions is a problem of concern, and more than sanctions that other countries might eventually adopt because of the circumstances. The circumstances are that ICANN is located in the United States. One of the consequences of this is that, and we have discussed this a bit before, is that courts tend to consider assets located in the country as subject to the jurisdiction of that country. So we have the problem of in-rem sanctions. If you consider that OFAC sanctions allow certain measures to be adopted against certain countries, the fact that ICANN is located in the United States adds to the problem because, as a consequence of that, courts could eventually, and this is one problem that we will be discussing in the future, hopefully, could order, for example, redelegations or somehow affecting more heavily on the activities of ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. If that is a proposed issue that you've mentioned, it seems like it is, I would encourage you to put that on the proposed issues list so we can discuss whether that is an issue. I note Farzana's comment as well, noting ICANN is located in the U.S. and sanctions affect people on the non-SDN list. Of course, ICANN, while it is headquartered in the U.S., does have locations in other countries, and it would be worthwhile exploring whether locations, ICANN's other locations, for instance, in Singapore, Turkey, I believe, Brussels, a couple of other countries, whether there are any sanctions in those countries that affect ICANN anyway. But we'll get to that when we do. So the next issue on the list, you seem to have a beep, if we can see that line, seems to have left, maybe fallen asleep. So anyway, the next issue on the list is that of ICANN CCTLD delegation. The issue as currently posted is, how binding or precedential is the appeals court decision in Weinstein versus Islamic Republic of Iran, elevating ICANN CCTLD designation decisions above property seizure challenges. That probably needs a bit more setup for a discussion of a full discussion, so perhaps we can revise that. So that we can have that a little bit more fleshed out. Seems that's kind of maybe Act Three, if you will, of the issue. And the issue, I think, is not just an issue of the Weinstein case, but the broader concept. But in any case, maybe I'll try my hand at putting in a little preamble. Brings us up to that question as well. And the next lines of the issue list are blank. We have many more issues or proposed issues that have been raised in the course of our discussion, some even today. So I would strongly encourage all of you to put issues that you've raised or that you helped bring to the list in another fashion onto the issues list. If for any reason you can't enter things into Google Drive, just send your contributions to the email list and someone will enter them in. But certainly in a bottom-up organization, I encourage everyone to do the work and get them in. So I thank you in advance for continuing to advance the list of proposed issues. Anything further on the list of proposed issues before we move on to the next item in our agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is the questionnaire review. Apologies in that I did not circulate the questionnaire sign-up sheet in advance of the call. You can all look at it on Google Drive. Just a brief review of the status. It looks like it is being brought to the screen. No, thank you, staff. Okay, so we are still awaiting two reviews to be sent to the list. One is one that was submitted by Jorge Concio on behalf of the .Swiss domain registry. Parminder is supposed to be preparing that review. And then there is a review of a submission by, I apologize for pronunciation, Liu Yu, Internet Governance Research Center, Chinese Academy of Information Communications and Technology, to be prepared by Viduchi Marda. Also, it's been noted that due to a clerical error, there is one additional questionnaire response from the EU that should be on this list and also needs to be reviewed. So if anybody would like to put a hand up and volunteer or volunteer in the chat to review that submission, that would be very helpful. I will, of course, put this out on the email list as well if nobody on this call is available to summarize the EU response. And finally, we have a few short submissions that we'll deal with as a group. We'll try to wrap up the questionnaire response review in the next week or two because we do need to move from inputs to outputs, if you will, or from our analysis of the field to the issues discussions that we have just kind of previewed over the last 20 minutes of the call or so. So at this point, we don't have any questionnaire responses that are ready for discussion. Hopefully by next week's call, that will change. So let us move on to item to the next item in the list, which is item 7, and that is what's in front of you on the screen, which is the review of ICANN litigations. We did have a number of new volunteers, who I thank very much for having volunteered for analysis. Don't have any of those available yet. They still are in the analysis portion. We do have a couple of items in the queue, but I don't believe, unfortunately, that those who prepared them are on this call. We have the Ruby Glenn versus ICANN case review was sent to the list shortly before ICANN 59 by Viduchi Marda. Hopefully we can discuss that next week. Then we have Subramaniam versus ICANN also sent to the list by Bartlett Morgan. Bartlett just sent in his apologies this morning that he was under the weather and would not be able to make this call. So we'll wish him a speedy recovery, and hopefully we can discuss that as next week as well. The ICANN versus Registerfly, Martinez versus Registerfly were in fact discussed last week on the call. Thank you to Paul Rosenzweig for that. So we'll update the chart to reflect that those are now reviewed. As you can see, we still have a very few cases that have not been claimed by anybody, only a half a dozen or so. So if we could, 7 to be exact. If anybody would like to volunteer, please go to the list. We'd like to get these last cases reviewed so we can see if they do raise issues. And so that we can essentially, you know, complete that portion of our work as well. Any questions or comments on litigation review or any volunteers for any litigation? Smiley versus ICANN seems like a happy, upbeat case that somebody could review, for instance? Apologies for the levity. Seeing no further comments on the litigation review, would hope to finish that. I do believe it's Smiley versus ICANN, third up from the bottom on the list. Jeff Newman says he knows about that case. Maybe he can prepare the review for us. I'm trying to voluntell you to do that, Jeff. If you take me up on it, I would be most appreciative. Jeff is typing. I know Jeff is has a lot of ICANN-related responsibilities. Anyway, moving on, I think that brings us to all other business, AOB. Does anybody have any AOB? I'm not seeing or hearing any AOB, so we can give everyone back a few minutes of their time. I would ask you to use that time, whether right now or sometime in the next few days, to bring proposed issues up to the issues list. That is really our centerpiece job right now. Also, wrapping up the litigation and questionnaire review. So if you have an outstanding litigation review, please complete it, bring it to the list. If you could go back to any of the documents that you worked on, any emails you sent to the list in the past, now is the time to get those proposed issues up on the list. Again, noting there is no hard deadline yet, but we can't really deal with proposed issues until they're on the proposed issues list. Everything up to that point is preparatory, but if it's not on the list, we are not going to be discussing it. We will try to make the list as comprehensive as possible, but many hands make light work. So I would like everyone to do their part. In any event, I know I'm somewhat preaching to the choir, as those who are actually on this call right now are those who are tend to be among the more dedicated and active participants. In any event, since we have reached the end of our agenda, I will adjourn this call now. Thank you all for your participation. We can stop the recording, and I look forward to next week's call and to all the work between now and then. Goodbye, all.